Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It is time for the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along shortly for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Gentlemen, you ready to get right into it?
Let's not waste any time, guys. Let's do it.
All right. Let's go with news and notes, guys. Bob, I'll start with you. It was the early signing day this week for the recruits. Penn State's 2021 class, it pretty much went off without a hitch, no surprises. Probably the biggest news of the day was more when James Franklin met the media, and he had some comments about the transfer portal, Bob.
Yeah, and he also touched on this during his Tuesday news conference as well. Penn State and James definitely want to allocate more resources and manpower towards possibly upgrading the program via the transfer portal. The rules, I think, are a little bit different during the pandemic, and that should kind of allow, I think, some other players maybe to get into that portal. James talked about, you know, in past recruiting cycles, everything was geared around towards getting to 85 scholarships via the recruiting class. This, he said, moving forward, having seen how teams have changed by adding significant transfers, he's going to try and get in that game and get in that business and try and get some guys maybe that can help the team that are older immediately. Not unlike JUCOs, but maybe a little bit different than JUCOs. And he said that this year, for the second signing period, which I believe is in February, he's going to be targeting specifically defensive ends and defensive backs. And if you look at Penn State's roster, they're probably going to lose a significant number of defensive ends and defensive backs, or at least they could. So that's going to be the push for Franklin and his staff in the short term, going towards February signing day. And also, I think you're going to see them ramp up their efforts to get more, convince more players maybe to come to Penn State via, as he called it, the transfer market.
Okay. Well, Andy, in addition to James Franklin's comments, and this may have been part of it, the NCAA made the announcement that this year, for everyone, it's a free transfer year, meaning they don't have to sit out a year. What are your thoughts on this? A bit of a change in strategy from James Franklin to go the free agency market.
Well, I think he's anticipating what's going to happen in this strange year is the NCAA for all sports, including football, obviously, and basketball, you might see some sooner than later, but for all sports, all the waivers are no longer, and you can transfer and play right away, which to me feels like free agency, right? Like it is sort of, who knows what they're going to do going forward, but in terms of right now, it's open free agency. So if players are unhappy or if they're not happy in their situation or they're not getting the playing time or they think they can contribute elsewhere, you get to go into the portal and there's no risk from the player's perspective in terms of other than giving up your scholarship and having to find another one. But I think it's going to be crazy. I think there's going to be a lot of players in there. And James identifying two positions, Bob's right. It tells me that, you know, guys like Shaka Toney, Jason Oway, Shane Simmons, those guys are DNs. They're done playing football at Penn State, no matter what they're doing at going at the next level. And then you have to think like Tariq Castro Fields, Jaquan Brisker, Lamont Wade, even guys like Jonathan Sutherland. Those guys are all done playing football at Penn State too, going forward after this season. So that means they become very, very light and thin at those spots because that's a lot of players to lose. So that's telling me that he has to fill needs right away, even though they have good young corners, right? We know that, Bob. They have some good young corners, but they literally need bodies in place, and the transfer portal is the quickest way to fill it.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and just real quick. So Jonathan Sutherland, who's their special teams captain, he does have another year left. I just don't know that he is. I think James knows that he is he's more valuable to the team as a leader and on special teams. I don't know that you want him at safety playing a lot of snaps. I believe he's got another year. Actually, everyone technically, I think, has another year
right this
year. And I just wanted to say, Jason Owe, redshirt sophomore, after he got named first team All Big Ten, which did surprise me, I think that if he really wanted to leave, I've heard enough draft buzz about him, even though he's only played a short time. He could leave as well. If he would leave, then yeah, Penn State, other than Adisa Isaac, you're talking about rebuilding the defensive end room.
Yeah, exactly. You would have to. And I think the two big names that you're talking about here are on the defense. It's Jason Owe and probably Jaquan Brisker at safety. Those guys have decisions to make. And, Jason Owe, I think he would blow up the combine, and someone's going to be drawn to him. Perhaps the bigger question would be, would Jaquan Brisker come back? I'll ask real quick here, Andy, if you were Jaquan Brisker's advisor, would you be telling him to head to the draft or stick it out for another year?
Oh, boy. That one's tough. I would be telling him to go for the draft. I don't see an upside for him to staying another year in college football as compared to having an opportunity to make that kind of money. I think he's got some learning and another level to get to, but do you do that at Penn State or do you do that as an undrafted free agent trying to make an NFL roster and making some money? I would tell him to go. That's a tough one, though. Good question, Jim.
I don't know. What do you think, Bob? I think he's the one guy that would really change his draft status if he came back for another year.
Yeah, guys. So what I would say about that is, the fact that there's so much unknown about next college football season with regard to protocols. I know the vaccine's out, but very challenging year to play football in college football. If it was going to be like 2019, I think that maybe Jaquan would be 50-50 maybe to come back. But I would say two things. he did play better during the second half of the season. He will test off the charts if he gets invited to the combine. He was one of Bruce Feldman's freaks. And I think he was one of the better safeties in the Big Ten. And I don't think he would go undrafted. He might go mid to late rounds, but when you're that big and that fast, people are always, I think, going to be willing to maybe take a chance on you, even if it's developmental. I think he would probably go as well.
And the fact that James Franklin identified defensive end and defensive backs as an area he's going to target, that maybe is the hint we should take that maybe these guys are gone. And that's why we're going to see the dipping the toe in the free agency to get players for that position, those positions. All right, we've got coming up the first time. This is the Big Ten Championship Week and crossover games. And the Big Ten handled it. We discussed it last week. Here were the rules going into this. You needed six games in to play in the championship game, and we were going to play one versus one, two versus two, and so on. What we ended up with is a team with five wins in the championship game. And we have, instead of playing the crossover games, we're going to, maybe we'll go back and fulfill these rivalry games and make that the priority. Andy, what do you make of all that and the Big Ten's handling of it?
It fits the script of the last 6 months, right? I mean, basically it's like, okay, whatever they said they were going to do or whatever their plans were, when it got a little sideways, they didn't have a plan B, so they just were winging it. That's basically what I feel like. Like, at every step along the way, starting in, say, like May, from May or June, they have been winging it at the top levels of the Big Ten Conference all the way through. I mean, I like the concept of it, like, yeah, because of the way the season played out, you have eight games scheduled. We know COVID's going to have an impact, but we're going to give you a ninth game championship week. On paper, it looked good, but then they're like, the Ohio State thing, but we've got rivalry games and they were canceled and you're playing this guy. Okay, thank you. that's just par for the course for them in 2020 under new leadership. How's that? Nicely put.
That's about it. Well, the end result of this, though, Bob, is Penn State ends up with a game with Illinois. From Penn State's perspective, what do we think of that matchup? Or should fans be disappointed? Is this one of those where, gee, they didn't get a better matchup, you know, a Minnesota or a Wisconsin? It's, quote unquote, only Illinois. What do you think?
Yeah, is this in the best interest of the players, or is this in the best interest of television and the universities who are out a lot of money because of the pandemic? I mean, I think these dummies got it wrong. I don't think it's fair to ask Illinois to come across the country after firing their coach to play in Pennsylvania and vice versa. It would have been fair for Penn State to have to travel to Illinois. They're making Nebraska go to Rutgers. I just think that it's, I don't like it. I just think that they revisited it enough decisions that they said they weren't going to revisit. I think they should have revisited this one. Even Indiana can't even play, I think, because of COVID protocol issues. I think I would have walked this back and tried to maybe get close to the best four teams playing on championship weekend, and that's it. I think there's a lot of players and a lot of coaches that could really use, I think, some time off. And you're seeing it play out, I think, when it comes to bowl games and programs opting out of that.
Well, there are teams that have already opted out of their bowl games, Andy. Last minute we have. Do you get the sense, though, the Penn State players are all in? They've won three in a row. Chance to get four in a row, be 4-5, and then would be anxious to play a bowl game to reach 500?
That's an interesting question. And the way this trajectory of this season has gone for them and the way they're playing, and like you saw them, the sort of the joy and the spirit and the confidence that you expect from a Penn State team in the second half against Michigan State last week, like you saw it, like, oh, that's one of the elements that has been missing for a long, long time, and taking better care of the football. But you see teams like Pitt's opted out, Boston College, you know, their players are like, no, we've been living in the dorm since June, forget it. I think this team would go. I really do. I think this team
would
take
one. I do too,
and
I think there's a big difference between losing your first five, then winning four in a row, versus doing it the opposite way. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around in quarter number two. Ross Tucker joins us for Tucker's Tape. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. If you're a fan of our Keystone Kickoff Show and you don't want to miss any of our analysis and review of the Penn State football team, there are plenty of ways to make sure you don't miss a single segment of our show. The best way to hear everything that Dustin, Greg, Ross, Bob, and Andy have to say is to download our app, Keystone Sports, from your app store. You can also find us on Spotify, the Apple Store, Google Play, and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are the place for Penn State football analysis.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.